Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come into God's presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God. It is God who made us, and we are God's. We are God's people, the sheep of his pasture. Well, not necessarily here. We're all shepherds, I guess. Enter God's gates with thanksgiving and these courts with praise, and give thanks to God. Bless God's holy name, for God is good. God's steadfast love endures forever, and faithfulness to all generations. So, there. Now, probably beautiful psalms, but maybe those don't always fit on a World Communion Sunday, but we'll get there. Because today is New Year's Day here in Cadillac. Though it may cause a bit of confusion, since most people within mainline Christian communities view this day as World Communion Sunday. Further, the readings that I just shared are probably more appropriate possibly for summer worship. The mood of the day ought to be Eucharist and the Lord's Supper, communion, body and blood of Christ. Why be more concerned with joyful noise and music and singing? God's gift of music, it's a wonderful healing agent. It lifts hearts, it lifts hands. It's all about uplift. And the musical gift, I believe, does fit our World Communion Sunday theme. Because my eyes, they light up, and my troubled mind drifts away to healthy times, especially when I hear a particular hymn. A lot of memories come to mind when I hear Ken Miedema music, because I have heard him in concert. Thank you, Margie, when you present those beautiful selections. Thank you, Rachel, when you take care of our music in the church. It does so much to lift me up, and I hear various hymns. Just for your information, I had another hymn planned for the middle section, but For the Beauty of the Earth replaced the one I had because nobody knew the one I chose, and I didn't want to make too much trouble on World Communion Sunday. I receive great guidance from our musicians. We have so many talented people in the church, by the way, with our music, something I do not bring to this church. So I get to appreciate it rather than to sing it. In fact, if I started singing, that's why I stand down here, you would all leave quickly, but hopefully come back for the sermon. But I love music in church, and it brings me back with many memories. And I suppose I'll be still having those memories long after I'm at Curry House or at Green Acres. And I will listen to the music of my era, music of Pink Floyd. I love Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin. Am I the only one here? I guess. Okay. Well, yeah. I listen to all of Sue Cinco's music on a daily basis, and it keeps my fingers tapping. Thank you, Sue. The jazzercise music is just great. So if you don't like some of the sermons, blame Sue, because she's my inspiration on all those days. Play some ZZ Top sometime, though. I appreciate that. It reminds me, though, of a trip that I made in 1973 and driving out west. I've been thinking about my roommate lately. 10 years ago yesterday, he died. And he is a dear friend of mine, wonderful. But he and I took a trip out west in my van, which he has had the bean bags and the shag carpet, the 8-track tape player, even had an octopus hanging from the rearview mirror, listening to Allman Brothers and Jimi Hendrix and Cream, Stray Dog, and Hocus Pocus by Focus, a Swedish hard rock yodeling group. And if you haven't heard them, you really should. But my roommate, we called him the Irish Wang Ho. He and I won't tell you my name, but we had our little traveling out there through the mountains in Colorado, the deserts of Utah and Nevada. Music, for so many of us, it's a time machine. It really is a time machine. And music comes to us today in these beautiful Hebrew New Year's Day psalms. One, Psalm 96, and Casey read that to you, and Psalm 100, I just shared a moment ago. Psalm 96 is a doxology. It's a praise song. I will sometimes use it in a call to worship. Sing to our God a new song. Sing to our God, all the earth. So why do we sing in worship? We sing because here in church we celebrate the birth of our children. You know, in baptism, the coming of age of young people in confirmation, in covenant classes, the graduation, honoring those we have raised and loved, supported all those years, who leave home for college, marriage. We celebrate our weddings, and we have funerals, and we have memorials. All of the significant rites of passage that mark our life together. It's a good reason to sing, even for those like me who do so off-key. We sing when there are changes in our homes and in our world. Decisions made to change careers, dedications, outreach, interfaith, and educational experiences, world events. We sing. Think about those songs marking transitions in your lives. Think about it. I have, besides those rock tunes, transitions that took place in my life with Rosemary Clooney, Harry Belafonte, Louis Armstrong, Cab Calloway, Rodgers and Hammerstein, Benny Goodman. Most recently, Catherine and I attended a concert over at Buddy Guy was the feature. Who was the other one? Johnny Lang, who was just unbelievable. But Interlaken has wonderful concerts for us. Now, because of the environmental forces of the psalm, we sing for the world and its inhabitants, for opportunities to preserve and to take care of our planet Earth. Let the heavens be glad. Let the earth rejoice. Let the sea roar and all that fills it. Let the fields exult and everything in it. Then shall all the trees of the forest sing for joy before our God. We are nature. Nature is us. We are not ever separated from nature. So we sing, and we sing for our earth, our world, our neighborhoods and communities, our decisions, our rites of passage, our life together. And as the Hebrew people did so long ago and continue to do this New Year's Day, we sing together, anticipating joy and goodness in the church year that we have ahead. Another Hebrew psalm of joyful noise in worship, it's this beautiful Psalm 100. And this is really a psalm in motion because there are a lot of active words, verbs, make, worship, know, enter. They challenge us to act our faith. The doing becomes the worship. It's all about our acting our way into thinking, where we're encouraged to sing and to clap and to leave worship with active songs in our hands and feet. Psalm 100, it follows many other psalms focusing on anguish and despair. These are called the Lamentations, by the way. And it's good to have balance in worship. And the ancient Hebrews, they were all about providing that balance, talking about captivity, Babylonian captivity, and then release and freedom and movement towards a promised land. The Jewish calendar begins in the fall with a 10-day period of examining what has happened over the past year. The first 2 days are marked as Rosh Hashanah. And Rosh, it's means head, Rosh Hashanah of the year. So it's the head of the year, new year. It's called the Feast of Trumpets, and it's the first of the Jewish high holy days. Why in the fall? Well, it's because of the agricultural it's rogation. It's the idea of harvest. And what a great way to start the year, and then you move through the year this way. Now, the worship service, it is long. So if you think some of our services are long, no. It can be very, very long if you want it to be. Huge crowds come, much like we would have for, say, Christmas Eve. The shofar, which is a ram's horn, it's sounded. That's the Feast of the Trumpets, you see. And it's the ancient way of announcing the arrival of a king. So Psalms 96 and 100, when these prayers, they're chanted, talking about God's sovereignty over all the world. And the meaning of the earth as being full of wonder and joy and goodness and love rather than hopelessness and chaos and anarchy and despair. On the 10th day of this new year, of Rosh Hashanah, another day comes along. It's Yom Kippur, which is the Day of Atonement or repentance. It's the day of thinking about everything that horrible things, and also what can be done to correct all of those horrible things. It's the holiest day of the Jewish year, Yom Kippur. It takes place invoking an idea of God sitting in judgment over all humanity, checking whether we've been naughty or nice over the past year, and then passing sentence on each one of us. This is in quotes. It is decided on Rosh Hashanah and confirmed on Yom Kippur who shall live and who shall die, who shall prosper and who shall suffer, who by fire, who by earthquake, who shall be at ease, and who condemned to wander. Those days in between, they're called the days of awe. There are 10 days there. But basically what you have in that time period, it's a way to correct all of these things, to call people, to visit people, to go and say, I am so sorry for what I have done, to try to make up for all of this stuff. And then that day of judgment comes along. Well, let's see, am I going to put you in the book or not? That remains in question. Then you have to go through another year trembling. Well, am I going to be around in another year? Well, those are the people with somewhat more superstitious views in Judaism. 10 days to amend behavior, to seek forgiveness for wrongs committed. During that time, you pray, you repent, give to charity, do everything you can. Our Reformed Jewish friends interpret Yom Kippur as meaning a little bit different in this way. Yes, our deeds do count. God takes note of our day-to-day, everyday behavior, not just those 10 days, but every day of our lives, those ethical choices we make. For Jews around the world, when does Rosh Hashanah take place? It takes place tonight at sundown. Tonight. And that's why I'm talking about it today, October 2nd. By the way, the latest day for Rosh Hashanah, it can be October the 5th, so we're already late into the cycle. So this evening, all of these activities start for our Jewish friends. And it reminds us and them that the goal is not to strive for happiness, but always to strive for goodness. Happiness comes as a dividend along the way. Strive for joy. Strive for that covenant I talked about last week in church. To begin on New Year's Day, living lives filled with unconditional love while nurturing forgiveness by forgiving the faults of neighbor and self. Psalms 96 and 100 invite us and all nature to make joyful noise for the beauty of the earth. One may ask how that can be possible given so much misery in life. Let us rejoice in God the Creator in spite of war and pollution. Let us be glad in the presence of God in spite of mental and physical disabilities and illnesses. Let us sing thanksgiving in spite of poverty and hunger and racism and homophobia. Why do we sing? Because God is with us. God is not against us. And we, the creation, we belong to God, our Creator. God still longs for us to enter into worship with thanksgiving, because at its core, all life is about love and forgiveness. The intention of the universe is toward life and coexistence. Love endures forever, and love is of God. Psalms 96 and Psalm 100 encouraged the First Congregational United Church of Christ of Cadillac to remember the ancient hymns, the good old gospel songs, the classical anthems, and the rock music that proclaims the faith of our church. And for those of us who cannot sing or play an instrument, our worship includes calls to worship, scripture readings, greetings, and welcome, the Lord's Prayer, yeah, even the offering. Here we even have that circle communion, led by Penny Phelps. There are other noises too, and when I hear babies crying or kids talking with parents or an elderly person saying, "I can't hear a thing John is saying," it gives me goosebumps. The shifting and coughing and even the children's tambourines during silence, they remind us of our shared humanity as God's children. And for those coughing, maybe a reminder to get your flu shot. With any boring sermon, there are these beautiful, clear windows for wandering off, rain falling. It was doing that last night. Wild geese, I've been hearing them in the air. The great outdoors calling for us to leave the sanctuary as soon as we can, not just to get away from the sermon, but also to experience nature in all of its glory. So, as our meeting house is filled with joyful noise on this World Communion Sunday, on this Jewish New Year's Day, We can remember that all praise is thanksgiving. Our worship together reminds us of all we have received, all we can give, all that we are and can do and can be. We are reminded that our deeds, they count. God takes note of our day-to-day behavior and our ethical choices. And we are to remember that what kind of people we are matters to God, and that just as we have been forgiven and loved over and over again on this New Year's Day and every day, we can do it again because God is with us. Amen.